forever. Dog.
I hate that I'm about to ask this.
What's that?
Just that I heard that they teach little boys to pee by like putting Cheerios in the toilet and say like aim at the Cheerios.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's just a rumor that's from my hometown.
I got to just say, yeah, Julie, that surely is a dream.
What a dream. What a wild, wild, wild dream life I have.
I smell Cheerios and toilets. Yeah.
A rite of passage, and I was like, this is the most disgusting conversation. I don't remember who told me. It was just like the idea that, like, that's how my dad taught me how to aim. And I'm just like, oh my God, can't you figure it out?
That sounds like an outlier. That sounds like a weird outlier who thinks that thinks that what was going on in their house was going on in everybody's house.
Really?
Yeah, that's what that one sounds like. I've never heard that until today.
Okay, good. Because
I'm 71 years old and I've never heard that.
The way he told me that, I remember thinking, ew. And also, like, you're acting like it's the most wholesome rite of passage sort of bonding experience you had with your dad, and that it was like fishing or something that everyone does with the dad that loves them.
No, taking a whiz on some Cheerios floating in the turlet is not wholesome, a good time. Those are not good times.
I remember when I got my period, my mother gave me a Nutri-Grain bar, and she was like, put this in your underwear.
Yeah, well, that was, you had to aim your period at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Julie, aim your period at this.
I had
At this. What was the bar? What's the bar that's like a lady snack bar?
Oh, Luna bars?
Yes, you get a Luna bar.
Yeah, I don't think they're branding themselves as nutrition for women anymore. I think they're acknowledging that they're missing out on a lot of money.
I can't tell you how frustrating it was to never be allowed to buy one of those things. I'd go to the place, I'd say, I'll get this for my chick is in the car. She wants one of these. And they'd be like, let's go out to your car and see. And I'd be like, where'd she go? Where are you, honey?
Right. And then you'd like clunk them on the head while they were looking into the.
Yeah. Then I got to go to a different 7-Eleven. So then I would go and I would dress up like a lady. And I'd go where are the Luna bars?
And he'd be like, you're caught. A real woman would know where they were.
Yeah. But then one youthful employee would show me where they are. And then he accidentally stepped on my dress and it tore off and he realized I was a guy.
There was that other time when an even hornier youthful employee, if I remember, like, tried to put his hand on your butt.
Yeah, and I was just like, ooh. And then I smashed my face into a cake and went, hello.
That cake was awfully convenient.
That was the most frosted cake in cake history, first of all.
For Mr. Doubtfire, I have to say, if I had a cake that frosted, I don't know if I would keep it in the fridge, first of all.
I'd scrape some of that frosting off, first of all, for starters.
What's
going to happen when you start cutting that cake up? It's going to go, I'm going through the frosting. It's going to be like the most difficult cake to cut. All that frosting is like an impediment to the knife.
Right. So you're saying it was overly frosted?
Yeah. Tony the Tiger wouldn't want that. It was Tony the Tiger would say that's too much frosted.
Oh, he'd be like, not so great.
Yeah.
What if there was no cake underneath? It was just like one of those pies that clowns use to to put shit on their face, and you're like, mm-hmm. there's no pie. That's just a tin with whipped cream in it.
That is one of the things that confused me as a child, Julie. You're hitting
really?
On, you're hitting on one of the earliest things that bothered me as a child. Would be just yes. like, it's supposed to be a pie fight. Those aren't pies. Those are just pie oh. tins with whipped cream on them. If it was a pie fight, there'd be a frickin' apple pie underneath that whipped cream, and it would be landing with some heft in somebody's face. There'd be yeah. crust and goo and fruit all over the place.
Where's the crust?
Where's the crust?
Said a young Tom Sharpling.
Yes.
And I was thinking of this recently, that the 80s were full of questions like, where's the beef? Mm-hmm. How am I doing?
Yeah.
Can what's we talk?
Up? What's up? Well, no, that was the 90s. The what's up frogs.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I do that? That's 90s.
And he was always wondering if he did that. You know what? Stop doing it. Stop doing stuff, and then you won't have to ask, did I do that?
Yeah, but the day Urkel stops doing stuff is the day Urkel dies a yeah. death.
But I did like that movie a lot, though.
What's that?
Memento. Did I do that? And he looks at his tattoo. Oh, no. More cheese, please.
Oh, that's the... Oh, no, wait, never mind. I already said it was the 90s. Because he would also say, got any cheese. That was his other
catchphrase. Yeah. This is how I'm doing the show now. I know it's maybe not the most...
What, do you filmic. Have a blanket on your lap?
Oh, it's just a shirt.
You know when you get, like, pants. To be a certain age and they make you wear a blanket on your lap?
Yeah. Last time they made me wear a blanket was... After I got rescued from that action sequence, and then the EMTs came and they wrapped me in a blanket as
so
I sat on the
what
back.
What action
of a,
sequence was that again?
Oh, it was a giant hostage situation.
Which one were you, the hostage or the hero?
They don't know.
Well, the trick question is if you're a rescued hostage, you're a hero.
That is true. But I am kind of like Mr. Trump in regard that I like the ones that don't get captured.
Right. That's fun.
That was one of the most amazing moments. Like, that should have been the end of his career yeah. at that point. Like, that was the one that.
But that was a joke. That was him. That was him doing his stand up.
But he was doing it at the expense of every prisoner of war. I like the ones that don't get captured. It's like there's no reason to say that. We still got my vote.
I can't sleep with anything besides a trauma blanket. Everything else is too soft. Ever since I was rescued mm-hmm. from that well,
mm-hmm.
And they draped a trauma blanket over my shoulders, I yeah. haven't been able to find anything with that kind of like heft.
Yeah.
Scratch count.
Yeah, that well thing was traumatic for you. Now, how did that come about again? How'd you end
well!
Up in the well? Yes, well, okay. I know it was a well. Go on. We're listening.
Well.
Yeah, it was a well. I know what you said, it was a well. What happened?
Well, well,
oh,
well.
No, there were three wells now? How many freaking wells did you fall into?
Well, here we are, is what I said when I mm-hmm. saw the well.
Mm-hmm. What if you fell into the well and then down there was Marianne from Gilligan's Island, Dawn Wells?
Dawn Wells? And I'd be like, Wells!
Mm-hmm. Wells, Wells, Wells.
There were three of her.
Oh, Tom and Julie, I'm so sorry to interrupt.
What?
I know.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
We're in the middle of a show right here.
You're so funny, and what you're doing is so funny, and I hate to interrupt, and I'm really
better be good.
Better be good.
I think you're going to like this. We just had a special guest join the Zoom.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you right now.
Yes.
If you come in here with a special guest, and this doesn't deliver,
mm-hmm.
You're in trouble, mister.
Yeah, you either we either be the stork or GTFO.
Yeah,
deliver.
Yeah,
I think you're gonna be happy with this. This is a past guest, a guest that's been on the show before, friend of the show. And I remember, I hope I'm thinking of the right person. I remember, Tom, you saying this is one of your favorite guests, if not your favorite guest that's ever been on Double Thread.
Bob the Drag Queen?
We've got Jackie Hoffman.
Jackie Hoffman!
Oh, my God. Jackie Hoffman is my favorite guest in the history of the show.
I knew it. So stay tuned, everyone. When we get back from the break, we're going to be joined by the one and only Jackie Hoffman.
Hi.
You look so gorgeous for someone who's just on call. What are you doing? No, you're just sitting in your room?
I'm sitting in my room. I walked outside. I sat in a park. Mm-hmm. I swam at their little pool. I took a walk. Oh, I went to the, if you follow me, which I'm sure you don't, I went to the Poop Cafe, which is a duty-themed coffee place.
Okay, let's start from the beginning, Jackie. Mm-hmm. Tell Tom where you are.
Where am I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am in Toronto with our neighbors to the north.
Oh, what a magnificent city. What a magnificent city. It's like New York if you remove the bottom 10 and top 30%. It's just kind of the middle.
Like in the East 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are in Toronto being a working actress. Am I correct?
And that's a stretch, but if playing an old Jew is being a working actress, then I guess, yeah.
Are you enjoying?
No.
You've been in like, okay, yeah. No. You were in Vancouver for a minute and now you're in Toronto.
Not a minute. I was in Vancouver for 7 months.
Oh my goodness. There ought to be some sort of a union clause at this point, don't you think?
Yeah, the clause should be like, if you're in a town, there should be something to do. This mm-hmm. this city seems like it has a little more life.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is with Toronto, they're convinced that they are the New York of Canada, but they don't realize they are the Wisconsin of Canada.
Jackie, I joined the Y.
Yeah, you have to if you want access to a pool.
I've been doing laps.
Good. This fucking place, mm-hmm. every time I go to the pool, I'm like, why is there a fucking kid in it getting a lesson? And this hotel, how unethical is this? The hotel lets fucking children get lessons here, and they're not even guests at the hotel. So they use it as a child lesson pool. So paying guests at the hotel don't have room in the pool, which is tiny anyway, because there's like a fucking kid getting a swimming lesson.
Yeah, that's a disgrace.
Yeah, it's unethical.
They're probably paying. They're probably slipping some cash to the
mm-hmm.
to the concierge.
Someone's getting a shtup. God, your place looks so fun and happy, Julie. It's like Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and yet the inside of my head is like an H.R. Giger painting.
You and me both. That's why I'm always with the booze and the weed and the food, because the inside of my head is excruciating.
Yeah, it's the worst place. The weather is bad.
I would like to propose an overall concept. And this might seem a little harsh for those with children. No one under the age of 18 should ever be allowed in any hot tub ever under any circumstances. There's no reason a child, no, I want to go where the water's hot. It's like adults are the ones in pain that need hot tubs. You don't need a kid going, oh, it's fun to go in this one. Then the other one's cool and this one's hot. And I go back in the, it's like, no. I hate when you see a hot tub filled with kids.
Also, like, kids shouldn't be allowed to turn everything into a toilet.
Yeah.
Because
unless they're at the Poop Cafe, where everything is a toilet.
All right. I'm about to regret what I'm about to do, but I'm going to ask you about the Poop Cafe.
I took a film, took a little thing for the Insta. I have pictures and everything, but go ahead. Please ask.
I mean, I guess the question is like, so is your husband not up there? Is that the idea?
He is not here. And today's our anniversary.
Actually. Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you. So you've been resorting to other activities.
Yes, to kill time. But I heard about the poop cafe and I said, I have to check it out. You know, it's you sit on toilets with lids down. The chairs are toilets. The coffee cup is a little toilet bowl. And they have the poop emoji all over the place.
Sure.
They give you a waffle with a poop cookie on it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Now, the owner is an 8-year-old.
I don't know.
It's like an 8-year-old's fantasy.
For someone who hates children, you put yourself in the crosshairs of like, this is where every child would gravitate. It's almost like you hate children. You're at the poop cafe. I'm like, has Jackie entered the Grimm's fairy tale witch phase of her life where she's luring them?
Mm-hmm. It's one step away from going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Now, you know, they won't let you in a Chuck E. Cheese without a child. Which is very hard for me because their pizza is amazing. I've heard.
Really?
No, I've never been there.
I heard food. I got excited. Really? Their pizza's good? It probably sucks.
It's probably better than Toronto pizza. Tom will tell you a thing or two about that.
Bad pizza up there, Jackie. Bad pizza. I went to this place, Pizza Pizza, which is their version of one of the chains. They call it pizza. It's like one of the whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. But Vancouver had really shitty pizza too. And they have like every 50 feet was another fucking pizza place.
Yeah. And they just all think it's like New York style pizza. And then you go in. I ordered a pizza and I was looking, I was like, oh, I guess I'll do sun dried tomatoes on the slice. And it tasted like anchovies. Literally tasted like fish.
They love the salt. You must be really hurting for a guest. Did Anne Harada bail? What happened?
No. Are you kidding? This
yeah,
is we've
bullshit.
Been, you
Somebody
are my
bail.
Julie, tell Jackie who's
she's not gonna believe me.
Who is Tom's favorite guest in the history of Double Threat?
Oh, this I told you. You know that. Jackie, I told this to you.
Yes, I believe.
Who's the one of the only guests I get starstruck when I'm actually sharing the show with?
You are his favorite guest.
Absolutely.
A. B, we were talking about what are we going to do and should we look for a guest? Mm-hmm. And what did I say? Brett and Tom, say it at the same time.
So Jackie, please ask
Jackie's Jackie. Doing nothing. That's what you
no,
both said.
No, I didn't. Oh, would you shut up? I said, no, she's working, but let me see if I could get her. If she could
amazing.
Just jump
no,
on.
Amazing. No,
you've been working so much.
What have you been up to? So what were you in Vancouver for, Jackie?
It's a TV series of Grease, and it's a prequel.
A prequel, so
it's
in the 40s.
Rise of Pink Ladies.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So
yes.
And
because when you see Frenchie and Rizzo, you're thinking, what's their backstory?
Sure. Well, I was going to say based on Grease, I was going to say you actually might be a little young to have been one of the pink ladies in the original Grease because they were all in their like mid-70s, like when the one guy had a hip operation.
Yeah.
When Rizzo was pregnant, I was like, really?
Yeah. It was like, this is high school in the 50s.
It was like, IVF?
Oh. Yeah.
Who's your IVF doctor? Is he a miracle maker?
The one guy has sciatica. He's wearing a heating pad half the time on the bleachers.
Grease lightning. It was greased with Ben Gay.
So you're in the Pink Ladies prequel for Grease, and that's a streaming thing, I guess, right? Is that a movie or a series?
It's supposed to be.
Well, that's exciting.
Are you playing the principal?
Yes, I'm Eve Arden in the movie.
Oh, that's
fabulous.
Amazing. Oh, my God.
Fabulous.
That's so cool.
That's divine.
Yeah. I mean, and like I texted you weeks ago, 7 months for 16 minutes of camera time. And that's the Jackie Hoffman experience. But we have gratitude today.
Okay, girl. Okay, girl. Well, happy anniversary.
Yes.
Thank you.
I live like 2 blocks away. Do you want me to go fuck him?
Oh, but he should. He deserves some wet pussy, the poor bastard. Have not only my permission, but my blessing.
Okay, okay. Thank you. I'll do a bracha first.
Mm-hmm. A blessing on your snatch.
Mazel tov, mazel tov.
So the rest of 2022 for you, Jackie, you're going to get out of Toronto soonish. You can't say what you're up to up there. You're doing a super secret project.
I don't know. Usually every project says they're super secret, but this one didn't. So I'll tell you, it's an Adam Sandler movie, and his daughter is the star. His wife is it. Both his daughters are in it. Imagine the amount of paychecks are going to come to that household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that
like
the
writer, producer, director? He's in it.
Sarah Sherman is in that?
Mishpucha.
Is Sarah Squirm in that also? Do you know
her? I don't know who that is.
Sarah Sherman. She's on Saturday Night Live. I think she plays one of his kids.
Excuse me. I don't know who anybody cool is.
Oh, no.
I don't know who anybody is.
You know Julie Klausner, so you know one cool person.
I do. The coolest.
Yeah.
I love that you're in an Adam Sandler movie.
That's so cool. That's going to be so much fun.
I hope you have a good time in it, and I'm sure you're going to be a total scene stealer as soon as...
I don't think so.
Come on. As soon as you... show up, they're gonna have you in every Adam Sandler movie. Like, doesn't he just use the same once he finds someone funny?
That's what I hear. That's why I agreed to do it, because I figure investment in my old age. My scene partners are 85 and 94, and they complain a lot fucking less than I do.
I mean,
and they're healthier, actually.
I would say you're gonna look amazing if you're surrounded by the
yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm the babe. I'm the ingenue.
Yeah, exactly.
And also I'm working with Beth Hall, who's absolutely adorable. She was in Mad Men. She was Roger, white-haired dude's secretary, and she was in Mom. She's just a love. I think she's around my age, probably a little younger.
So you made a new friend.
I made a new friend. I did make a new friend. I made three new friends.
Who are the other two? Your scene partners? They'll be dead momentarily.
The scene partners. Yeah. I don't know. I may beat them.
Mm-hmm. Breaking news, Jackie. We actually just got word that one of the two scene partners just passed away.
You mean there's a part for me? Here I go. Get my passport ready.
And the other one's not feeling well. So this is so exciting. You're one of our favorite guests and one of our favorite people.
You're Tom's favorite guest. Seriously. That's just the way it is. And thank you so much for dropping in.
A lift and a purpose to my day.
Yes.
Not your anniversary, huh?
No.
Well, I'm alone in a room. And
FaceTime him. Show him your. Come on, FaceTime him. Show him your tits.
Oh, We did that. I FaceTimed him from Vancouver, and I go, this is the stage of where our marriage is.
Yes.
Should I show you my pussy or something? No. And he goes, nah.
Nah.
Oh
man.
Well.
Yeah, it's stupid. I would feel so fucking stupid doing that anyway.
Well, it's hard enough for me to find a good angle on Zoom for my face.
Yes.
But you have a ring light. Don't waste it. All right, my friend. I'll see you when you get back into town. We'll go to the we'll do something in the neighborhood together.
Yes. Does the wife have a guest pass?
Oh, yeah. You're going to love being a guest. They really roll out the red carpet.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What a thrill. Jackie, and we know you're taking
the time out
for this, and it's so meaningful to us.
Love you, Jackie.
You guys. Thanks for asking. Call anytime. I'll be here.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you. It's my favorite guest. The whole show, and she just upped the ante on every other guest in such a short amount of time.
I love how much you love her. Obviously, I love her too, but yeah. It's like,
oh no, I'm actually honestly, I'm honestly starstruck when she comes on, because she to me is just the embodiment of what it's like to be a great professional.
Mm-hmm.
And see, in all seriousness, she's just like, she works, she mm-hmm. figures her things out, she does TV, she does movies, she does stage stuff. She goes
Broadway.
She goes where the art takes her is where she goes, and some things yeah. are for money and some things are for love, and it's just she's also an admirer of hers.
One of those people that could exist and thrive in I think any era, which is an incredible credit to her. Like,
that is huge.
I can see her making a living in the 60s. I mean,
you are 100% the 30s. She is somebody who there is just a timelessness to her being and persona that mm-hmm. just plays anywhere, anytime. Love it. And I couldn't, Julie, I could hear through the wall, I could hear Brett laughing.
Yeah. I muted myself because I didn't want to be cackling in your headphones the entire time. Yeah, Jackie's just, she's so funny. What a joy every time she mm-hmm. comes on the show.
Yeah.
And speaking of friends of the show, I finally got a response to one of my emails. So stay tuned after the break to find out who wrote back and what they said. It's Guestio. I heard back from Guestio.
Oh my God.
You'll remember from last week, Guestio is the podcast guest marketplace where guests can buy and sell podcast appearances.
When do we start? That's all I want to know. When do we start?
All right. Well, this is pretty cool. So I opened it up and I said, all right, what are we doing? Are we in business? What's going on? And I see this reply. Should I
just read it? Yeah.
Reread the message we sent some context.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there was an article about podcasting, how certain podcasters are getting they're paying to go on high profile shows, certain guests.
Shows are getting paid and laid, and we are we're just sitting here in the shade.
And we want that money.
We want to get in the game. We want to be part of this. You know, there's money flying around.
Oh, you thought you were going to get some of that money too, Brett? Oh, Julie, that's the cutest thing I ever heard. We were going to give them a taste.
Well, that's what I thought. Doesn't a taste mean a percentage of the money?
Yeah, but you're getting a little too excited. We didn't tell you what that percentage was.
What are we talking? 10? 15?
10 what?
20.
10 what? $25?
Percent. He's negotiating.
Oh, come on.
Look, we'll take care of you.
I don't like the sound of that.
We'll take care of you. We'll tickle your little feet.
Yeah, we'll take care of you. What do you want to eat?
How many gorditos?
We'll do it the old DC Comics way where they're like, I created Superman. Hey, you want a car? Yeah, that'll... Oh, okay, I'll shut up for 15 years. They gave me a new Cadillac. Like, this Cadillac's $6,500 they gave me. People are just like, you realize Superman is making hundreds of millions of dollars right now, and you let them just buy you a car.
I just saw the movie about the claymation studio that did the California Raisins mm-hmm. and all the claymation from the 80s, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he didn't have any of the franchise rights. But I guess that's par for the course if you have an advertiser that's a client, right? Like they just own it. Or is that not necessarily the case?
Oh, no, I don't know. All I could think of, Julie, honestly, if I'm going to give you a true look into my head, as soon as you said claymation, all I could think of was Claymation Aiken.
Okay.
Like literally for 30 seconds, my brain was like, Clay Aiken, Claymation Aiken, Mation Aiken. And I'm just like, Wait, she just talked a bunch and I didn't hear any of it.
He did that and he did the Noid.
And my brain went down a dumb road.
It's fine.
While my co-host was
oh, I was saying such interesting, fascinating things about the Noid and avoiding him.
We got to avoid the Noid, though, all kidding aside. So you,
Brett, is
you'll get 15%.
No, Tom, no, you didn't even discuss this with me. I was distracted by thinking about the Noid.
Of?
Yes.
5%.
Ah, damn it.
Down.
He gets 15% of 5%.
Just quickly do the math on that.
Yeah, you don't want to do the math on that one. It ain't going to break your way.
Boy.
Brett, I know you're mad at me, 1%. But fix my video shot, please.
That's the real Breaking Bad.
Oh, sorry, Julie.
Breaking Brett. You just broke Brett.
Yeah. Did you see the big spoiler I dropped online about
Better Call Saul?
About Better Call Saul?
What?
That he becomes Walter White's lawyer.
How'd that tweet do for you? Did you get any hate in your mentions?
No, I'm having a good week gently teasing the
how's that going?
Better Call Saul
great
fans. Yeah.
Yeah, Vince Gilligan has a song called Hate in your mentions and cows are in the field and I come from Texas. Did you have any idea? I got a goatee and I like to be from Texas and I got a big drawl and I like to say, well, whenever someone asks me a question about these characters, I like to say, well, it's gonna be a funny thing. You're gonna have to wait and see.
No, that ain't what it is.
Vince Gilligan may as well be Walter Brennan.
Yeah.
When I see him be folksy.
Yeah, when he's like, somebody's like, I think that actually Walter White died in the car. No, that's not what happened. Walter White didn't die in the car.
Well, maybe he did. You never can tell.
Well, I kind of wrote the show, and I'm telling you, nope, he's alive and well.
That's exactly how I see
watching Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
He does his gold prospecting dance. Actually, that guy goes to the fucking bank. Every time he goes to the bank, he does his gold prospector dance.
Yeah. Do you want to read this guest?
Oh, yeah. So Guestio got back to us. Let me catch you up on what we wrote to them, first of all. And there's a lot going on here. I prefer not to do this a cappella. Is there a backing track I could cue up to play under this?
Yeah. What about, I'm just thinking of like Walter Brennan and kind of like melancholy, like, you know that song from Robin Hood, the Nodding Nottingham?
Oh, such a good song.
How about that?
Coming right up. Sad song. Roger Miller. Best Disney soundtrack of all time for my money.
Every town has its ups and downs.
Hello, Guestio. It's Julio and Tomio. Unfortunately, Coolio couldn't be here. Funny, right? Well, there's more where that came from, Jerkio. Because we are comedy podcasters! Look, we didn't just fall off the turnip truck. We are Smartio. And you guys are taking podcasting for a ride, and we call shotgun. Pot us in, coach. We're ready to payola to playola. And we will sign the contract in Crayola. As a hit podcast, we're always looking for guests. And what excites us about working with Guestio and your roster of losers, and you know they're losers, is a word that starts with mon and ends with e. Oh, fuck that up. Is a word that starts with mun and ends with e. Money. Let us spell it out for you in case you're as dumb as the people you represent. We have no conflict, morally or otherwise. What other conflicts would there be? Schedule? Just kidding, EO. Being paid by guests to be on our show, that's what we have no conflict about, which is great. So start paying, and we'll start potting. Balls in your cordio.
So you got a reply from Guestio, Brett?
Yes. So we sent them that long message, you know, basically we put it all on the line. Let's get into business together, you know. Let's climb into that old business bed and have some hanky-panky and see what happens, see what comes out of it. And they replied back. And remember, that whole message I just sent them, and then this is the reply we got back. This is awesome. Glad to have you on the site, and we look forward to seeing how Guestio can help bring great guests your way.
This is not a real person writing back.
That is a real person.
It says Travis from Guestio.
We're writing right to Travis.
We got to write to Travis right now.
We got to write to Travis.
I got a button here that says reply. I'll just click this button.
Yeah.
There better be.
Yeah.
This Travis character better not be lying about saying how excited he is.
Yeah. Please don't.
Reply in our messenger.
Dear Travis Pickle.
Here it is. Glad
Julie,
to have you.
Julie.
Yeah, here it is. Okay.
What?
I wish we were on a game show where you write down what you're thinking on a card. Because the card I would have written, I would turn it around and it would have said, Dear Travis Pickle on it. I swear I was going to say.
I believe you. I know. Listen.
This is the road I was going to go down. If I follow a beautiful mind style. And it's not a beautiful mind. It's an okay mind. It was going to be Travis Bickle were in quite a pickle. Then I was going to go into Love Guru stuff where it was like tickle the pickle. Like when he did that thing in the Love Guru.
Oh, interesting. Okay. But I was thinking, Dear Travis Pickle, and then I was going to say, and I call you Travis Pickle because I'm souring on your company.
Oh, I like that a lot. That's the best version of this whole thing.
But I will just emphasize that we have what Del Close used to call group mind before he died in I forget if it was a Bunsen burner accident, but I think he like set up a rig for this car to machine gun a bunch of Nazis.
Yeah.
And then, what happened to him again? Well, it's funny, Julie. The end of Breaking Bad was kind of like this, but the end of Better Call Saul is going to be something like that. I made up for all those lousy female characters, though, didn't I? With Kim? You ain't mad at me still, are you? On behalf of women.
Wait, am I talking to Vince Gilligan right now?
Well, shucks, who'd you think you're talking to?
And this is an honor, Mr. Gilligan.
Honor's all mine.
Well, that's some Southern hospitality.
Sarsaparilla?
Sarsaparilla. I'm okay. I don't need any sarsaparilla, right? Were you offering?
More for me.
More. Well, we'll be more for you, Mr. Gilligan. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on.
Oh, I ain't nothing.
Any chance there'll be another show in the Breaking Bad world?
Ask my pool.
Can I speak to your pool?
You bet.
Well, Vince Gilligan's pool, this is such an honor. We are now in the firmly in the psychic break portion of the psychic break era of Double Thread, where it's a matter of who can slide further away from reality sooner.
Well, I still think that's Travis Pickle. Mm-hmm. Thing is, I don't think we started this show to do like Uri Geller shit.
No. Can we say to him, Travis Pickle, souring on it? So what if we say, so what's the dill, man?
All right, one second. Let me get
this. Oh, that's fun.
Like, and then he'll just be like, well, why are they making all these pickle references?
He'll be like, I don't think Travis is real. I think he's going to say, I'm super excited.
So Guestio is no go is what you're telling us.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we can give it one more swing here. Maybe just a quick little reply. Keep it short and sweet. I've got, let's see what I've got here. I've got So what's the deal, man?
No, no, we gotta Brett, start with... you can't just go right to the no. thing. We haven't even called him Travis Pickle.
Yeah.
Okay, let me start over.
Because you know what you're doing? I say this with great respect for your passions, is you're speaking Cockney, my friend. You're skipping a step, which is what they do.
Well, you know, maybe that is what, you know, he's like, oh, I got to, what's this? I got to catch up to this. I'm behind. You know, it's like, you know,
no, I think
start the scene late, leave it early kind of a approach.
I think our first message was confusing enough that we could just be, you know, straightforward here. So,
all right, well, I'm in your hands. I'm just dictating. What should we say?
Hi, Travis Pickle. Should that be it?
That might be it. I like that. I think that's perfect.
All right. There we go. Send. Now we got a whole old chat going. So
yeah, that's really good, because now he thinks that you're chat. Now he thinks that you think that you're chatting, and that will work well.
And looks like I can see if he's seen it. So we'll keep an eye on this. See when somebody sees this message here.
Let's watch a clip. You have any clips, Brett?
Oh, I sure do. And in honor of Jackie Hoffman being on the show today, I actually have a little theme for the clips today. And that theme goes a little something like this. Old friends.
Simon and Garfunkel, old friends bookends.
Old friends is the theme of today. We have Jackie stopping by, and as a matter of coincidence, all these clips I chose for today that were sent in by listeners feature some old friends of Double Threat, and we're going to check in with them and see what's going on. Starting with our old friend Scott Adams, the creator of that classic comic strip Dilbert, which we all
newly single, right? Has he found a new teenage girl?
I believe he's still single, still living that bachelor life. He did a break up with his young wife, and then she left the house, so I think he's up in that old.
And I don't want to call her a teenager. She could have been a, you know, he's not Dane Cook.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Dane Cook.
Seriously, all drama aside, congratulations to Dane Cook. You've been one of our favorite entertainers for years, and we've just prayed that your personal life would bring you as much joy as your comedy brings us. And fingers crossed, that's the road you're going down.
And fingers crossed, friend. And fingers in the shocker on the other hand as well. And speaking of shockers, if I were ever to go into a room and see Mr. Cook and his lovely wife, I would say, too many cooks! And I would leave.
Yeah.
Well, Scott Adams is hanging out in that old Dilbert mansion by himself. He's tweeting up a storm. He's doing his coffee time with Scott every day. And so lately, I mean, we've missed a lot of big Scott Adams tweets that we haven't covered. There was that one, I'm sure you remember, where he said that he had a gun put in his face like five times or something like that.
Yes.
And then listed out a 100 other things. Maybe see if I could pull that one up as well. But so he's been having a whole time on Twitter.
So weird.
That was the night of 1,000. What? That tweet thread was insane. And please remember, when you send us his tweets, you have to screenshot them because we're blocked.
Yeah. Let me see if I'm blocked. Let me check.
I'm there. I'm trying to find the gun in my face tweet.
Such an insane story, because he was trying to make a bigger point about, like, you know, boys or America or something.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think I've got it. One sec. Yeah, this is great. All right, we'll start with this one. Then I've got a new Twitter thing he's doing. But let's catch up. Let's really get caught up with old Scott. So this was back in April of this year. And he started off with this.
That's so strange. That is so.
The phrasing of it is.
Yeah.
It says, number of times a real gun has been pointed at my head. 5.
Okay.
And then he goes on to say, number of, quote, fights I have ever been in. 0. I attacked 2 bullies in my teen years, but they surrendered without countering.
Yeah, all right. Take it easy there, Batman. What are you, Mr. Justice here? Like, look at those bullies down there. It's about time someone teaches them a lesson. I doubt they'll counter. You
number
like being
of times
bullies,
my
huh?
car stereo has been stolen. 4. Number of times my home or garage have been burgled. 5. Number of times I've been assaulted at knife point. 2.
2. Well, here's a great one. This next one.
Yeah.
Imagine having this much money that you can't give an exact number on the amount of times for this next one.
Number of times. I'm sorry, I can't read that.
Number of times someone stole more than $50,000 from me. 5 to 7 times.
What?
He's not exactly sure.
Do you think he's full of shit?
No, I think he's a dumb guy who somehow got handed who hit the lottery for a terrible cartoon that somehow captured the fancy of America. God knows why.
Mm-hmm.
It was never been funny once. Mm-hmm. It's ugly and bleak.
Yeah. It's uniquely ugly.
Yeah, he sucks. But he doesn't know what to do with his life and all this money and these number of major auto accidents I've been in. 3. Homes in my neighborhood that have been targeted by smash and steal gangs in the past year. 2.
Number of incurable health issues I cured in myself. 3. Number of full vacation.
Yeah, number of full days of vacation. No work I've taken in the past 33 years. 5 or so. Well, that's on you, stupid.
How long does it take to draw one of those panels?
He acts like there's no choice. He acts like he had no choice in the matter of ever getting a vacation day.
Right.
That's on you. That's your choice. No, don't play the martyr card like you. Oh, I only get 5 vacation days. Well, that's on you, fucking dunce. Yeah.
Right. That's his choice also. It's not like someone chooses to.
Why is this guy really winds me up for some reason. I don't know why.
People I've cured of their various health problems via public advice. 1,000.
Yeah, we should take him to court on that. We should have him convicted of practicing medicine without a license. Right? He'll get sentenced to number of years I got sentenced after double threat took me to court for practicing medicine without a license. 60.
I mean, it would be cool to sue Scott Adams.
Let's sue him.
Should we?
Let's full on sue him.
I have an idea. Is there a lawyer listening who will work with us pro bono?
Yeah.
Or.
Say it. I know where you're going. Say it. Julie, I know the joke already. We're sharing a brain. I know the joke.
We'll both say it at the count of 3. Okay.
One.
1, 2.
3.
Or if pro Sonny Bono.
So I was going to say Bono with U2. I was going to say if you don't like U2.
Oh,
because
okay.
I was going for the mispronunciation of Bono as like if you're pro Bono, that means you like
right.
U2. But you're going for pro Sonny Bono. Yeah. We should just sue him. Brett, can you meet with some lawyers?
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Week?
Let me take some meetings and see who
I
can get to represent us.
I want
if there is a lawyer work who will do it for free, then yes. That's where they get you.
Well, I mean, can they have a cut of the settlement? Can I dangle that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, great. We're not going to get any money.
Oh, wait,
we're
just yes, we are.
Going
we're gonna
to
get
bother it. Him.
No, we're going to get his
I
mansion.
Think we'll get, I think we'll get something.
I want this. Him to. I want his mansion.
Oh, that would be so cool to like make that mansion like Double Threat headquarters.
Yeah, Double Threat HQ.
Oh, that would be so sick.
Well, Julia, and we already know where everything is because he gave us a freaking tour of the place.
Yeah, it's got six microwaves. Imagine what we could do with six microwaves.
Yeah.
What should we do with that? Yeah, we could have a popcorn contest. Yeah,
we could have a popcorn making contest. Who makes the best popcorn in the house?
Or just like whose popcorn pops first?
Yeah. Might as well be like an ice cube making contest. It's about as much creative control you have over microwave popcorn.
I think it's a fun idea.
And the winner.
There's three of us, right? Each of us get two microwaves. Yeah. So both of us can have our fingers over the start button. Yeah. It'll be like, on your mark, get set, go. And we all hit the buttons at the same time. And then the first person who you hear a pop from wins.
I think that's great. It'll be like one of those boardwalk games with the clown and the balloon and the water gun. You got to get the balloon to pop. Look, I think that I look forward to later this year when Julie, when you and Brett go back to Taron Killam and do the chili cook-off contest.
Can't wait.
Terlingua. Maybe you can.
Taron Killam.
Oh, wait, what is the city called?
Oh, please, Terlingua.
I thought it was Taron Killam.
Please, Taron, don't kill him.
Yeah. If you go there, and I want to go to the ice cube making competition. And the winner of this ice cube competition, let's go,
Vince
Brandon.
Vince Gilligan,
you
Vince
won.
Vince Gilligan, what are you doing here?
Well, you're the Vince. You've got a lock on Vince Gilligan. For the live shows, we should just have conversations with Vince Gilligan in conversation with just like rotating people they're all talking to.
Their after show is called Talking Saul, mm-hmm. which is not a pun.
No, it's not. I would call it salty conversation, right?
Or that's not Saul.
Or, yeah, that's not Saul. That's exactly it. That's not Saul, folks.
Or, yeah.
And then they get Porky Pig to host it.
You won't believe this. This is a complete, what a wonderful coincidence here. That episode that Tom and Julie are talking about, that old Dilbert episode where we looked at Scott Adams' house tour, somebody just tweeted about it, and so I retweeted it on the Double Threat Twitter. So if you want to go back and revisit that old classic episode called Oh No, I've Seen Dilbert's Toilet, go follow us on Twitter. It's up near the top of the feed. You got some links there. You can go listen to that old episode where we look at Scott Adams' house tour and all his microwaves.
So what is the Scott Adams clip this week? You said he has something
so,
called
yeah,
Coffee
so
with
something,
Scott.
Yes. Yeah, so he's been tweeting about all the times he's had a gun in his head. He's been tweeting about this and that. And this week, he's been – guess what he's obsessed with this week? That old Mar-a-Lago raid.
Oh, jeepers. Who could have guessed that he was obsessed with that? And he –
It probably really upset him.
I tell you what, if you're a conservative commentator, this is the gift that keeps on giving, this Mar-a-Lago raid. They've just gotten so much material out of this thing.
So funny, because like they think that could be them. Like they relate to, because he also has like a shitty, ugly house that he spent too much money for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the whole culture of that crap where everybody supports the... Everybody's worried that they're going to somehow become a billionaire and get treated poorly as a billionaire, where they're just like, I need to when I get my hands, well, when, not if, I get my hands on like $10 million and I don't want to just be paying it all out in taxes. And then they're just like, well, I don't want my house raided next. It's like, these are never going to happen to you.
Right.
Stop defending the rights of these people who you are not. One of them.
So the FBI raided.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I guess I'll get off my soapbox there for a second.
Brett doesn't agree. Brett,
I'm sorry. I thought we were tag teaming.
No. Brett's moving it along. He's moving along. He's like, enough of the political talk. I know.
Oh, no, I love it. I love it. I was just picking up on where you're leaving off. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You know what Brett said to me, Julie?
I didn't say this. Whatever it is, I didn't say it.
What?
Republicans listen to podcasts too.
I did say that. I did say that.
Do you know that, what that's a reference to? Is Michael Jordan got flagged, allegedly. I don't know. People deny that he said it, but it sounds like something he would say,
he
honestly.
He said what?
It's like, well, Republicans buy sneakers too, which is why he wouldn't take a political stand back as a player.
Why he wouldn't shave his Hitler mustache?
Yes.
Also, it looked really good.
Yeah.
Wow. Who would have guessed that guy would be a bad gambler? He was so good at betting on mustache styles.
Yeah.
So the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago this week because Trump just took 15, 16 boxes of confidential documents with him down there. And
I'm sorry to interrupt, Brett, but the funniest thing in that press release that Trump wrote about it was they even took my safe.
Yeah. They even took my safe. And it was a beautiful safe.
It's a safe. That's why they took it. Because there's probably stuff in it that you're not supposed to have. Yeah.
Of course they took your safe, you idiot.
Of course they took your safe, you idiot.
Oh, they only took your tubs of documents, like your container store tubs.
The septic tank. They need to get a real scat. This is what America needs, is like a real scat freak who's going to be fine with rooting through all this septic tank stuff that he flushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then so all
probably,
these.
You know what? Sorry again, Brett. He probably flushed the Constitution.
Probably. He probably did flush the Constitution. If only a political cartoonist would draw that for us, would be a Trump in a bathroom and then a piece of paper that just says on it, Constitution.
Yes, Brett, go ahead.
I was thinking they've been trying to do a National Treasure 3 for a while now. Maybe that could be the plot of National Treasure 3.
Yes, I'm going to flush the Declaration of Independence.
I got to get in the bowels of this toilet. Someone flush the Constitution.
I hate that I have to picture what the flushing in the White House is, because I have pictured it, and it's not like the public bathrooms where you just like step on that like plunger thing and it's like whoosh. I feel like it is like a glug 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 glug.
Yeah, he's got like that old apartment water pressure.
Yeah, and that's why I think about all those poor documents and him just being like, get down, flush faster.
Yeah. I guarantee he also doesn't have one of those water saver toilets either.
Oh, no, please. Him and his, like, because the showers were another thing that he was obsessed with.
Yeah.
So the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago, and then all these conservative commentators are coming out and saying, this is it. We're going to war, and saying all these ominous things.
To war.
So Scott Adams had to get in on the fun here.
War.
And this is what Scott Adams tweeted. When is this? Is this this is today. This is this morning at 5:44 a.m.
Hot off the presses.
Scott Adams said, I waited 2 days for my government to justify an FBI raid on a former president's home. I think that was fair-minded of me. No justification has been offered. The presumption of innocence of the government and FBI can now be removed from the option set. Phase two begins.
Has there ever been a worse writer, Tom? The option set? Is he an alien or just a bad writer?
No, that's him desperately trying to seem smart.
The presumption of innocence, parentheses, of the government and FBI can now be removed from the option set.
What a dunce. We should draw up a, are there any, there were supposedly photos of the turlet with documents in it. Right? Is that out, or is that just?
I do not want to look at those. Man, I'm sure there are. But
what's her face? Maggie Halberstam. Okay. What's her name?
Halberstam.
Yeah. Maggie Harford. Dr.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Let's see.
We should doctor one of those photos to make it look like Trump was flushing Dilbert cartoons down the toilet.
He'd kill himself.
Yeah. Whatever you do, get these Dilbert cartoons. Get these.
They're not
Dilbert
funny.
Strips. These are not funny. They belong in a toilet. Trump. Just Trump shredding up Dilberts and putting them inside my pillows. Jamming them in toilets. Who brought all these? Eric, did you bring all these Dilbert comics into the White House?
Right, apparently this is real. Here's a photo.
Oh, I knew it was this kind of toilet.
Yeah, that is exactly.
I am going
Rogers.
To grow up.
Yeah, so this is from a forthcoming Maggie Haberman book. This has been a rumor. But apparently they found photos somewhere, like some staffer took photos, because apparently staffers would go into the toilet after Trump had used it and it would be clogged and they would find like little pieces of paper.
No paycheck big enough.
Yeah. I says
Trump's
that,
relationship. Yes.
I says all I was going to say is if one of our fine listeners can make it look like there's some Dilbert comic strips in one of those toilet photos.
Well, this one is easy. You could do year. This. You could Photoshop the Dilbert. What does that word say? I can't read it. Say arson?
It says Rogers and then like Stephanie or Stefanik. Wasn't that somebody? Who was? Yeah, I don't know. It's just names. Names on a piece of paper. I can't tell what this other one says.
Flush the Dilbert strips. I don't enjoy Dilbert. I do like Dogbert. Do not flush any Dogbert based strips.
No one can know that I know Stephanie Rogers.
That's one of those toilets that if you're checking out an apartment or something and they just go like,
yep.
And we'll replace this toilet, of course. Like, they're just like, we're renovating the place. We didn't change the toilet yet. We will, of course, we're going to do the bathroom again. We'll do the shower. Of course, this toilet's going to get, and he's just like, no, keep that toilet.
That's also a toilet where if I were like at someone's house or something, like I would scope that one out. I'd be like, I think this is going to be a bathroom free visit. I don't want to interact with this person's plumbing in a way that will make me memorable. And I'm just, I'll just pee in the shower. Got any Cheerios? Look at that. It's a callback. I guess you're like, excuse me, do you have any Cheerios that I can piss on?
Yeah. Any baby Cheerios?
So before we move on to some other old friends, any guess on what phase two is going to be? What is Scott Adams getting up to here? He said phase two begins.
I would be very worried if I was the opposition right now, because look at that front line coming at you. Scott
Steven Crowder.
Adams, Steven Crowder, Michael Savage, all of the, it's really just the best and the brightest are coming for you, and you better watch out. See that that group of mutants coming down the street heading your way.
I mean, yeah, but this is war. So phase two, what's phase two?
Oh, he does elaborate here. He did a follow-up tweet because everybody's asking, what's phase two,
what's
Scott?
Phase two? Yeah,
so he says, what is phase two? That's the part where things get fixed. One way or another, all options are on the table.
Well, at least he wasn't vague in any way
he
with phase two.
Is very into the word. Didn't he just talk about his option set?
Option set, which does not include presumption of innocence anymore. So now he has declared the government FBI guilty, and phase two means all options are on the table. But he's already removed that one option, so that option is
not
on the table.
The presumption of innocence.
Fine, yeah. Then we're on to phase three.
We put that option.
Yeah.
We remove it again because it snuck in.
We should tweet at him. What's an account we can tweet at him and say we're already on phase three?
Well,
bro?
I created an I very briefly created an account way back when called Dead Dilbert, where I was just tweeting at Scott Adams as Dilbert from Beyond the Grave.
Well, first of all, Brett, I appreciate your you revealing that to us now.
Is this before or after you started your own Twitter?
This was after. I briefly was experimenting.
Oh, you were addicted. You had to get a thrill.
This is what I would like you to do. From your Dead Dilbert account, please I'm tweet at him now. And go, we're already on phase two. We're already on phase three, bro. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm on Scott Adams. All right, and I am commenting on Scott Adams. Phase two.
We're already on phase three, bro. We're already catch on up.
Phase three, bro.
Yeah. We're going to need, we're already on phase three, bro.
Uh-huh.
You in touch with that guy who put the gun to your head? Or
who are those five guys?
You in touch with any of the five guys?
Are they the burger guys? There's the burger guys?
That's perfect. And oh, yeah, and BTW. The five guys put a gun to your head?
All right, I got phase two. We're already on phase three, bro. You in touch with the five guys who put a gun to your head?
Yeah, send that, and then we'll write back to that tweet. But that one's elegant.
There we go.
Are you in touch with the five guys who put a gun to your
head? All right, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Dead Dilbert is back.
Did you want to ask them a question about the five guys? Were they five guys? Did they put down their burgers and fries?
There we go. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let me find.
Nah, don't worry about it. Right. Oh, yeah. For the original tweet? Sure.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There is something like wretched and irritating about him more so than other nerds.
Why is he not like, because it's so weird. It's like he's choosing this path of just petty partisan frustration when he won at life.
Yeah, no, you're right. Angry rich guy is a very unique kind of look.
Yeah, it's just like, be a little appreciative of what life threw your way.
Or acknowledge that it's luck, because that's the other thing about that bizarre thread is he refuses to acknowledge that any of it has to do with opportunity or privilege or, you know what I mean? Like, he completely feels like, because he's never taken a vacation day in his life.
Yeah.
He's not a whiny, poor person. Yeah,
no, that's exactly it. He thinks he's a hardworking guy who, I put my money where my mouth is. First of all, when you do work, it's to draw one of the worst comic strips in history. He doesn't even do it anymore, right?
I don't think he draws that. It must be a vector program.
Oh my, he sucks. Launch him at the sun. What else you got for us, Brett?
One more clip, Brett. One more clip.
Oh, yeah, I got a short thing and then one more clip.
That sounds amazing.
And speaking of old friends, we've made a new friend today that I hope will become an old friend because he just replied on the chat.
Travis?
I'm talking about Travis Pickles.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Travis doesn't mince words. He keeps it short and sweet. So I got a...
Can we guess the word? Yes. Is it one word?
It is one word.
I'm going to say... yes, with a question mark.
my bet is hello.
Ding, ding, ding. Julia's our winner because Travis said hello.
Oh, I like where this is going. Here we go. All right, now we're cooking with gas.
Say, what do you want him to say? Since you guessed it, you have free run of this one.
I'm trying to establish a business relationship here. Like,
right,
real,
exactly. Like, are we asking? Because remember, I was really confused about this. Like, in terms of what we were asking them and how.
Yeah. So if we're trying to get them to throw us, I mean, we want to say, you've got, you've got guests. We've got a show. You've got guests.
Who will you be booking on our show?
We've got a show. You've got guests. Who's available?
How much?
No, don't say how much yet. Let him write back again.
Right.
I think. Because now Travis is pretty chatty as long as we keep it short and fatty.
Should we say that our show's huge?
We've got a huge show. You've got huge guests. You know, really,
well, let's
like
not lie to kinda, Travis Pickles here.
I know. I just want him to feel, you know, these guys, you want to feed their ego a little bit, you know?
Yeah. We've got a huge show. Which one of your guests will you be booking on it?
All right. Great. Yeah. Cut to the chase. Assume it's happening.
Yeah.
We've got a huge show. Which one of your guests will you be booking on it?
There it is. You got any other clips on this old friends? I think this is where the old friends episode is. I'm so irritated.
Okay, that song is making me want to take a couple more barbiturates, a warm bath. A newspaper blown through
the grass falls on the round. Oh, nice fade there.
Thank you.
Classy.
Well, speaking of old friends, we got one last old friend to check in with here. And I'm, of course, talking about former host of The Tonight Show, Jay Leno. And you're always asking the question, you know, when's Jay going to touch his Tonight Show money? What's going on with that Tonight Show money? Well, we might have a clue as to where some of that Tonight Show money went in this next clip, because Jay Leno was on Antiques Roadshow a while back. Antiques Roadshow. And he wanted some help.
Is this with this painting, this like impressionist painting?
That's right. Yeah, he wanted some help.
I will happily watch this again, but I will tell you that I've seen this clip. Like, I love this clip.
So you could say this clip is an old friend of yours.
I love it. This clip is an old friend.
I also want to say I know one of the places that the Tonight Show money isn't going. Comedy lessons.
Oh.
He's not funny.
I'm Team Jay.
Yeah, until you go watch a half hour of him doing stand-up.
No! But that stuff that he said recently about, like, I didn't take that job from Conan.
Yeah.
Who was he talking to when he gave that interview? Was it a wooden chair?
He was talking to the chair that Clint Eastwood talked to at the...
That
at the
chair.
RNC.
God, that...
one of the craziest moments.
Have we come to a place where we could talk about that yet?
Yeah. I've got the president here.
We're Clint Eastwood, who didn't tell anyone until right before, right?
Well, Mr. President.
No one knew he was going to do this bit with a chair, that empty chair.
What's your policy, Brent? The chair.
Brett, can we watch
that? Oh, yeah. Let's get another old friend.
We have to watch old Clint Eastwood.
Do it. And I am correct in thinking he did not tell anybody about
it. I'm pretty sure you're right.
I think you're absolutely right about that.
Suddenly he was like,
he improvised it.
He's like, I want a chair. Like, what, to sit down on? He's like, no, I'm going to say the president's in it, but he's not. And they're like, so not to sit down on. You see, really, you don't want the chair to sit on stage?
No, there needs to be a full documentary about this.
Yeah.
I want to know. I want like a oral history. I want clips. I want interviews with people who were like.
Yeah. I want all of it for this. You're 100% right.
Just what exactly happened? How has he been able to recover from that? Like that people kept hiring him as a director.
Yeah.
That they weren't concerned that. And when this was the.
This was 2012. Yeah, 2012 Republican National Convention. And here we go. Doing a spaghetti western kind of score. They got him.
Of course. This
picture of him from his old movies.
Image of him.
Ah, oh, there's my guy.
Old Paul Ryan.
he already looks a
Oh, there's the chair.
Dizzy.
There it Sorry, is. It's exciting to see.
You were starstruck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sounds like Robert Loggia.
Save a little for Mitt.
That's good. That's pretty good.
I know
line.
What you're thinking. You're thinking, what's a movie tradesman doing out here? You know, they're all left-wingers out there, left of Lenin. At least that's what people think, but that's not really the case. There's a lot of conservative people, a lot of moderate people, Republicans, Democrats in Hollywood. It's just that conservative people, by the nature of the word itself, are play a little more close to the vest, and they don't go around hot dog in it. So,
what are we watching?
Hot dog in it.
What is he talking about? Speaking He's not making which, any sense.
I sure would like a hot dog. Can I get a hot dog with relish and mustard?
He was making sense until he wasn't.
Sauerkraut. A lot of people say, people, tradesmen in Hollywood, don't eat hot dogs. But trust me, we got pinks.
And then the audience explodes, like, with laughter.
Yeah. Hot dogs are everywhere in Los Angeles. We got 7-Elevens. They got hot dogs at 7-Elevens. They also got pizza now. Now they got pizza and wings at 7-Elevens, too. And everybody can order. Democrats, Republicans, conservatives can order hot dogs and wings and pizzas at 7-Eleven. Right, Jerry?
Wait, let's go to the chair.
Yeah, let's go to the chair. Right,
the chair. Is he going to introduce the chair?
I think the
soon?
Chair comes in pretty early, if I remember. Let's
the
see.
The great thing is, everybody's eating out of the palm of his hand. In a matter of moments, they don't realize they're going to watch Mitt Romney lose the election in front of them. Right now, they're like, we got Clint effing Eastwood. He represents masculinity to this country, all this. And then
I heard Travis a little bit. Travis,
sounds
right?
like Travis what? Is back.
What is Travis saying?
All right, sorry, let me. All right, old friend, old new friends becoming old friends. Travis says, Travis, do you have an account set up in our marketplace yet?
Set one up, Brett.
What if I say I don't want to?
Say, yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I can't think what the Simon and Garfunkel playing.
Oh, sorry. Let me fade that out. Okay. Sorry, I got 8 things going on here. All right.
Dude.
All right. Old friends. There we go. That's good timing. All right.
God, it's like,
you know,
music they play when your pet crosses the rainbow bridge or something.
I went to a Simon and Garfunkel concert back in 1968. So they did Mrs. Robinson. In Sounds of Silence. And others. Hey, me and Cherry went to the Simon and Garfunkel show. We also saw Candy Heat. That's
Tom, Brett is writing to this guy on his own volition, and I don't know what he's saying, and it's concerning
me. Brett's gone rogue. I don't like that.
What is he saying?
I know how these guys think. I'm gonna start speaking Travis's
Tell
language.
Tell me what he said. What did he say?
I don't approve this message.
Oh, sorry, message.
What did he say?
Brett said, I don't want to. Can we keep this off the books? No, that's not a good message. The message should be, okay, let's cut to the chase. What's your credit card number?
Tom, you have to stop asking people their credit card numbers. It's gonna backfire.
I don't know. Maybe you're the one time it works, though. The one time
it only got to work once, Julie. I need just one.
At the very least, we're gonna reverse the power dynamic here. Now I got him on his toes. You know, he's backpedaling. He doesn't know what's going on.
No, let's go back to Clint Eastwood, please.
Like all of us. So I've got Mr. Obama sitting here. And he's, I just was going to ask him a couple questions.
Confused murmurs.
You know, about, I remember 3.5 years ago when Mr. Obama won
the election. Pause for 1 second before he starts with these questions? Before he starts with these questions, let's all picture what you would ask the previous president if he was sitting in a chair next to you, and let's see where the level of severity lands. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Porter, I was watching that night when he was.
You do agree that the audience was really confused, right?
Yeah. They were talking about, yes, we can, and it was dark and outdoors, and it was nice, and people were lighting candles, and they were saying, I just thought, this is great. I mean, everybody's crying. Oprah was crying. And I was even crying. And then finally, I haven't cried that hard since I found out that there's 23 million unemployed people in this country.
Wow. I was hoping that would be a joke.
And now that is something to cry for, because that is a disgrace.
Macho.
Obviously, this administration hasn't done enough to cure that. And whatever interest they have is not strong enough. And I think possibly now it may be time for somebody else to come along and solve the problem.
Is this all part of the question to the chair?
No, this is him setting the table with.
They should have cut. Did they cut to the chair in a single yet? Because they should.
Mr. President, how do you handle promises that you made when you were running for election, and how do you handle it? I mean, what do you say to people? Do you just I know. People were wondering, you don't have it. Okay. Well, I know even some of the people in your own party were very disappointed when you didn't close Gitmo. And I thought, closing Gitmo, why close that? We've spent so much money on it. But I thought maybe it's an excuse. What do you mean, shut up? I thought it was just because somebody had a stupid idea of trying terrorists in downtown New York City. Maybe that was it.
This is like another country that he's talking about. He's talking about like literally a different country.
This is like if your grandpa insisted on doing his ventriloquist act, but he forgot his dummy.
We should get somebody to do some Jeff Dunham, some Terry Fader voices. Shut up.
You told me to shut up? Mr. President, I just want to ask, what about Gitmo?
And... This is backstage. I love everybody always just like, as people do when famous people do anything, they laugh so hard when a famous person can do anything. It's like, that's the funniest thing I ever saw. If I went up there and did it, I'd bomb like nobody's business, and rightfully so.
I think he is bombing. But I think people are just like kind of so shocked at it that they're laughing, but like, I think that mostly people are confused.
But I think backstage, people are freaking out backstage. Just like, what is this?
Uh-huh. I mean, if CNN wanted to be fun, they would cut to the chair in a single mm-hmm. and write Obama underneath it.
Yeah. Well, can we watch a little bit more of the chair?
Oh, sure.
Was okay. You know, I mean, you thought that was something that was worth doing.
He sounds like Bob Newhart a little bit.
We didn't check with the Russians to see how they did there for the 10 years. But we did it. And
they all are good looking. That's the one thing they do have over us.
It's something to be thought about. And I think that that when we get to maybe...
He literally sounds like Bob Newhart.
About having a target date for bringing everybody home.
I just feel like this is like you're watching your dad and you're like, please don't embarrass yourself. Please don't embarrass yourself. Just stop. Just please get to the point.
Yeah.
I can't believe this guy like has been around making movies since he did this. Yeah,
and they're all terrible. This guy's made six. Yeah. His last 60 movies have been terrible.
Please.
But it's like, oh, they come in under budget, and oh, if you work on the movie, he just shoots so quickly, and then
sure,
and you're home, you're in the car at 4 p.m. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter to me. Okay. I'm buying a ticket to the movie. I don't work on the movie.
Yeah, you're not passing the savings down to me. Yeah. My ticket costs the same either way.
All right,
fuck that guy.
We got one last old friend to check in with here. As promised, we're going to see what Jay Leno got up to on Antiques Roadshow.
Let's check it out.
Evaluating his collection of art and how valuable it is.
The paintings here, I mean, it's a giant painting as you walk in.
I love it.
I don't know, 15 feet long. It's
a stain on his shirt.
So I'm curious to see if those are sweat stains.
Where? At what part
all
of the
over.
Shirt am I looking at?
Go oh, back. Okay. Go back. Where
you're
aren't
saying that's
there
like a gray. Stains? It's a gray shirt, but it looks black because he sweats so much.
I mean, the painting.
Look, you gotta say this about Jay Leno. He's got quite a head of hair.
Amazing head of hair. Look, Julie. Look at that. Where?
Yeah.
Here, follow the arrow.
Zoom in, Brett, okay. Please. Please, for the love of Christ, zoom in. Where? Now do you see? Julia,
gotta,
a leopard doesn't have as many spots.
Hold on, I gotta wear my glasses.
A leopard doesn't have as many spots as Jay Leno has now.
Yeah, I'm kind of a leopard.
Hold on.
I should be in cats. I'm a jellicle kitty. Meow. And they may hear about what happened to the litter box the other day.
Wait, what are you talking about? Oh, because he's a leopard.
Because he's in cats now.
I'm a jellicle kitty. I'm jellicle.
He's not a jellicle cat. I would know, believe me. I'd be the first to know if Jay Leno. I can't believe I just said that sentence.
Yeah. Wait, I got to hear that sentence again. What was it?
I was being argumentative, which is not what improv is usually about, but on this show, anything goes. And I said to you the following thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Leno is not a jellicle cat. If he were, I'd be the first to know.
You'd be you get a little push notification on your phone. Little Apple
no,
news.
Not a little. I no.
Jay Leno
get
is now
a
jellicle
push
kitty.
Notification. The fire department would push down my door.
What
they
if
would
you did,
tell me
if you did get a notification? What would it say? Jay Leno is now a jellicle kitty cat.
It would say call when you can, and it would be from a loved one because they'd have to. It's like when the cops come over to tell you that someone's dead.
Sure. Yeah. Oh dear, the cats are coming to get you.
I have 15 feet long. It's enormous. So I'm curious to see what the history is on that and what that's worth.
Appraiser Michael Grogan has the answers to all of Jay Leno's questions.
Jay, this is one of my favorite paintings in your house. I mean, it's absolutely spectacular, and not just because of the size, which is immense.
Do you know this artist?
I do. Her name is Blanche Camus.
Okay.
She was born in France, 1884, died in 1968, had a pretty prolific life.
Wow.
It was called a neo-impressionist style, kind of like a revival of the impressionist style. The colors are remarkable.
The colors are remarkable. That right? It really does pop when you walk in. It
totally.
Yeah.
Here they are. They're harvesting grapes. Their dress
is
spectacular.
Neo-impressionist is not what anyone wants to hear. They want to say. Right? They want to hear this is an impressionist
about
painting.
About 1940 or so. Just think of the cost of the frame alone.
Right.
Right. I mean.
Oh God! He started talking about the frame. That's bad.
Her auction record. Just 2 years ago, was $80,000. This is probably worth more. I think it's worth about $100,000 to $150,000 at auction today.
Okay.
If Jay Leno wants to sell this painting, and it came to an auction gallery, and we could put the provenance of it from the Jay Leno collection.
Yeah, the Jay Leno collection of fine art, yes. Yeah.
It could be double.
That's,
it
that's
really
very
could.
Fun. I gotta give Jay
you
a ton of credit
give it
on
to
that
Jay.
One.
I am the Jay Leno collection of fine art. He's all right. Look, he's all right. Is he corny?
He's all right.
He's as corny as it gets, but yeah, I want him on the show.
Corny ain't bad. There's worse things to be than corny.
Yeah.
There's people that try to be edgy. That's way more of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Who think that they're cool.
That's true.
Jay, we're in the garden, and there's even antiques out here.
Right, right.
Tell me about the weather vane.
Well, I was hoping you could tell me something about the weather vane.
What happened to the guy?
I've been up on the roof, but never examined it up close. I don't know if it's a one-off, if somebody made it specifically for
that
this house, or
tacky.
I don't know anything about it.
I don't believe that it's a 19th century weather vanes, which is most of the ones that we see in America, the antique ones. I think this is a custom-made piece from the probably 2000 to not very long ago.
Right. It's worthless.
You can get these weather vanes done in the $15,000 range, and then they start going up.
I don't touch my weather vane
form,
money.
Right.
And she's got a
shell. Why aren't we making weather vanes? Is that true?
Which is a rarer form for the 19th century. We see them much more in the 20th and 21st.
Right.
It just seems to be one of those symbols that people love. Yeah. This one is particularly beautifully made. If you look at the directionals, I mean, that's always a nice sign for the quality of a weather vane. But I would say probably in the $15,000 to $25,000 range to buy it new.
Right.
If you had to have it fabricated.
Did you notice the peacock out on the...
I saw that.
In 1947, the lady bought this house and redid it after being devastated in 38. And she had that in the garden, basically right out here.
Oh, she devastated. Did she not get the Tonight Show?
It was a huge hurricane.
Yeah. Well, she had it for a little bit, then he took it back.
That was the end of that. Then 10 years later, she sold the house. Then 20 years later, she comes to visit the new owners sometime in the 90s, and she sees the peacock out on the lawn again. And she says to them, and it's hers. It's a bit battered and beat up. And she says, where'd that come from? They said, oh, we had a huge storm one day, and the peacock just showed up on the lawn the next day. So apparently got swept out to sea, stayed out there for a couple of decades, and then was swept back in again.
Oh, my gosh.
At least it came back, that's good. So maybe it's a homing peacock.
So the peacock is a symbol of many, many things. And one of the symbols
NBC.
Is resurrection. Because they lose these tail feathers, and
speaking of resurrection,
again. So there's biblical references.
Hit pause, please.
Look at you, Tom. I completely that was right in front of me, and I didn't even see it. Good.
A peacock
Lord.
Showing up in the '90s for Jay Leno.
After it was washed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we are heading into Jay Leno conspiracy theory territory right now, and I'm scared.
Look at everything in front of us.
I'm scared that it makes perfect sense. And then somebody else will be like, that's, you're like, you two are talking weird now. Like, if we don't even realize we're talking weird. Like, the way Clint Eastwood is just like, how the chair.
Hot dogging it. You know, some of us conservatives, like, they aren't us, and then they are us, and we're just out there hot dogging it.
Imagine him coming off that stage and going back and, like, seeing all, like, the RNC officials, and he's just like, that went really good. And then they're just like, we lost the election tonight. We just literally lost the election. Thanks, you idiot.
You think that's what we sound like when we're talking about Jay Leno?
I was not dogging it.
And do you think it's weird that they just traded off in the middle? Like that there was a guy and now the guy's gone and then there's the lady, or no?
Oh, no, I think that guy's like, I can't work with him anymore.
I can't do this. It was like Ed Hall. He was replaced with Brandon.
He seemed so mad. He seemed so mad that painting wasn't worth millions of dollars.
I mean, it's a really big paint. That's the thing about rich people. It's all about big.
Julie.
I want big art.
Well,
talk to
thank
any
you.
Artist.
I mean, I really wanted to talk to you about the gilded chair. And
we'll talk about that next time.
Oh, they're there.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate
thank
it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm glad you dressed up for this, Jay.
God, those people are nosy. Jeez.
Look at those baggy-ass jeans.
Wait, I don't know why they had to shoot that part.
Julie, what if you and I wrote a movie for Jay Leno? I'm not kidding. What if we wrote a movie like that would get him nominated for an Oscar?
Absolutely. I love that idea. Like The Wrestler?
Yeah. What if we wrote a thing that he could act in, and he would be and he would read it and be like, "No, I could do this. I see what you're doing here. I see what you're doing." It would be like me showing a different side of myself.
I love this idea.
Yeah. Talk about the people who would just be blown out of the water by Jay Leno. And the Oscar goes to Jay Leno. How about that? And then, right? And then he just goes up and does his act. So what else is in the news?
Have a joke.
It's your Oscar acceptance speech. So what else is in the news? Anybody see what's going on with this?
What's in the news? What's in the news? Yeah. You tell me, newsman.
Yeah. Brett, any chance of getting Jay Leno on the show? All no jokes. No jokes on this.
This one's real. This one's real. Let's make it a priority. Let's make it a top priority.
Let's see if he would do it.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do we have to do?
I just need you to keep your ears open. You know, if anybody in your circles has any Jay Leno connections, if anybody mentions, "Oh, like I was talking to Jay last week," anything like that comes your way.
Sure.
Then just, you know, we're going to jump on it.
Okay.
Jay's a priority. Jay's target number one, right?
I can go. I'm close enough to Newport, Rhode Island. I could just drive up and down.
I mean, you could dress as, you and Tom could dress as these two and say that you need to take a, you know, we need to take a second look. Second look at some
of
those artworks.
But I'm going
to
be the one wearing the, I want to dress like, what's his name? The Rogan guy, the one with the little pink hat.
Yeah, you want to wear the pink ball cap.
And the bow tie.
And I'll dress like this Anna Wintour knockoff.
All right. Well, that concludes our visit this week with some old friends. Jackie Hoffman, Scott Adams, Jay Leno, and our newest old friend, Travis Pickles from Guestio. I also want to thank another old friend, listener Steve, who sent in that Jay Leno clip. Thanks, Steve.
Yes, and thank you to everybody who sends clips our way that can be watched on the show, that whether to make us laugh or make us sad or cry or whatever, or mad. We appreciate all of them.
And you send those to doublethreatpod@gmail.com, doublethreatpod@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok at doublethreatpod, and send us fan art, send us merch designs, whatever you want. We love it all.
And we
we will be back, and thanks to our impromptu guest, Jackie Hoffman.
Absolutely. What a highlight.
And thank you so much for listening. So we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam, and liking our page on Facebook.